In our little series we're on, among other things, we shared together that you needed to make sure you're remembering the right things. Make sure you're not remembering other things. And we share that. That's important. Your memory, what you're carrying, makes a difference. And how you carry it. We share together that you need to make adjustments. Life demands adjustments. We have to be very careful we aren't conditioned by adjustments. And we share that so you understand how to do that. Otherwise, you're continually conditioned by the changing conditions. And that you don't want. Now, so here is another piece. And if you would recall, in the light of that, when the possible becomes impossible. And then the reverse, the wonderful reverse of that, when the impossible becomes possible. Now, if you would remember, in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, when you reread, Adam and Eve were to enjoy the Garden of Eden with all of its magnificence. And they would have had children, and those children would have enjoyed that Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned, and they lost the privilege of having the possibility of their children be raised in the Garden of Eden. So now they're out of the Garden of Eden. They can't, it's impossible to get back in. And now their children are raised outside of the Garden of Eden. And as they're raised as in the days up till into the day of Noah. And in the days of Noah, they have a wonderful privilege of a direct relationship, consciousness of God. No religion, no politics. Just people and God. But they rejected God, rejected him. Methuselah didn't. Enoch didn't. They didn't. Noah didn't. And Noah was given 120 years, told to make 120 years, to mark 120 years he would have before God made impossible that which is possible. That which was possible before the but after the flood, 120 years, there's a limit, it becomes impossible. So all of the wonder of the outside the Garden of Eden, after the flood, with all of its benefits, even though there was accursed ground, that was gone. That was all gone. No more. So now, and then they went, after the garden, Noah, then they went and built the Tower of Babel. They all were of one language and one heart, more or less, in one direction. And God went, and God, they had the wrong kind, and God scattered them so that they couldn't do that. They wanted to make possible a unique oneness among themselves. In total, leaving God totally out of the government, totally out of the worship, totally out of the picture. God made that, God, that possibility, that's what they were shooting for, to make that, God made that impossible. He scattered them. They're seeking to do that again, all the way into the Antichrist and the world. But they will never have that again, because even during the days of the Antichrist, Revelation 13, 17, and 18, during the days of the Antichrist, the whole world isn't in harmony like in Genesis 11. You've got another kind of volatile world with wars and chaos going big time. So now, having said that, God comes along and raises up Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They become a very, very special people. for a very special reason, that the world might see a nation, because they're all nations. They were scattered into families, tribes, clans, nations. And now the nations need to see a nation in order to have a visual testimony of what on earth they are to do now that they're nations in their government and in their worship. Israel was the example. And Israel was very, very special. Thus, you come to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and you would recall their wonderful assignment. Verse 37. And because he loved thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in the sight, in his sight, with his mighty hand, with his mighty power, out of Egypt. So Israel was rescued from Egypt by the mighty hand of God, and he brought them out of Egypt. They were never to return to Egypt at all. Now, and when he brought them out, verse 38, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. God brought them out to bring them in. God did, he began something, he finished something. He brought them out, that was all over. To bring them in, that was a wonderful, wonderful, privileged future. To be a very, very special people. Now, having said that, over if you would to Deuteronomy and chapter 1. In Deuteronomy and chapter 1. Now remember, what you're doing is you're going down the corridor of time. Things are possible. They become impossible. And you want to know that. So what here was back here isn't up here. No more. And why? Deuteronomy chapter 2. Moses is rehearsing, as he's on the, before they cross the Jordan River, he's rehearsing their history. And in the process, verse 2, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed about Mount Seir many days. Now, so here they are, and they went, remember, they went and crossed in the process, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Picking up, if I can, verse 2. Remember, now they crossed the into the Sinai. And they were there for a year, a little over a year, the tabernacle and everything being built. Chapter 1, verse 2, there are 11 days journey from Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, by way of Mount Seir, that's on the southern end of the Dead Sea, on the Esau side, on the east side, and unto Kadesh Barnea. And they went. They were to go, and that's about 160, 170 miles going on the east coast of the Sling of the Sinai and the horns of the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba on this end, the Red Sea, as it were, on this end, Egypt. And then they're going up. They're going to go up the east side, and they have, it's 11 days to get there. Now, if I can, in verse 5, on this side of the Jordan in the land of Moab began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us at Horeb, Mount Sinai, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Now they went, 11 days journey up they went, as it were, and they're going to go to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is on the southern part of the land of Palestine. And now, having said that, and they go there, over in up to the land, they're going to possess the land. And if I can, Deuteronomy chapter 1, and in verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee to go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. So they were to go. God brought them out to bring them in. Wonderful, wonderful possibility. Wonderful possibility to have that, which was impossible, but it's going to become, it's very possible at the moment. And, verse 22, and they came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into the what cities we shall come. So, and verse 23, the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of each tribe. So actually, they aren't believing God. They're unbelieving God. God just said go. But no, they're going to send spy, and God allows it. Numbers 13. And God allows them. All right, send your spies in. They aren't going to go. They don't believe, but they aren't going to go. Now, so having said that, and the 12 men are sent forward, and in chapter 1, verse 28, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, remember now, these are the 12 spies coming back, and they bring back a report, which we'll look at briefly in a moment. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakims with giants there. So with the great, not just Goliath, lots of them, lots of giants. And now in the process of all of that, they're discouraged, verse 28. And being discouraged means they lose heart, they despair. It'd be like diseased cows. And the cows that are diseased aren't too with it. And they don't look with it. That's the word. They got a heart that got diseased. Their heart looks like a diseased cow. No fervor, no fight, no follow through to go. Go! But they didn't. They sent spies. They didn't go. Now, possible? Absolutely. Absolutely. They didn't need to know about the giants. They'd face the giants when they got there. And God would have enabled them. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and picking up, if I can, in verse 30. And the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee on as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that he went until he came unto this place. And yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God. You did not believe. You are not believing. You are not being strong. You're not being supportive. You're not hanging in there. You aren't doing it. You did not believe. Now, in the light of that, sliding down if I can, in verse 37, and the Lord was angry with us, with me, Moses, for your sake, saying, thou shalt not go in thither, but Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones that grew up in the wilderness 40 years, you would be a prey, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. So you go in, take all your family with you, and God will bless everyone who doesn't even understand they're too young. Verse 40, but as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. Now, what's happening? Remember, they sent the 10 spies, 12 spies, and the 12 spies came back with a negative report. And the negative report, you can see it, just so you don't have to guess at it again. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. And in Numbers chapter 13, picking up, please, directly the report from the 12 spies after touring the land. Verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome the giants, the chariots of iron. There's no problem. God, you said go. We got to cross the Red Sea. We certainly can go, keep going right up into the land. God, you took care of the Egyptian army. You can take care of a Goliath or anyone else. Chariots of iron. Verse 31, but the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So the people had a negative response. They didn't believe. They didn't believe. And God told them, if they didn't believe, they weren't going to go. They weren't going to go. Their unbelief, after God gave them such clarity in going forward, with great signs and wonders, and they didn't pay attention, God canceled the possibility of them going into the land straightway from Kadesh Barnea, 11 days from Mount Sinai. He canceled it. Now, they got all upset, sad, mad, bitter, crying and everything else, what people do. And thus, give the account here and in Numbers. Here it is in front of you in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Remember now, God said, you're going to turn. You're going to go back into the wilderness. Here's Kadesh Barnea on the south of Palestine. And you're going to not go up anymore. You're going to go north and west, north and east, over to Mount Seir, Esau, and then you're going to go down, and you're going to spend 38 years doing nothing. And thus in the process, what did they do? Verse 41, Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned, we did bad, we should have fixed it differently, and we will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, and were ready to go up into the hill, they're going to go to fight now. And the Lord said unto me, verse 42, say unto them, go not, N-O-T, don't go up, don't fight, neither fight. For I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not, N-O-T, hear. But you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went presumptuously up anyway. It'd be like the sign says, one way on the state highway, and you go down it anyway. That's presumptuous. And thus, the Amorites which dwelt in the mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormath. And so, what happened? We're going to go. God said, you can't go. It's impossible for you to go now. You're going to have to weigh out the consequences of not going, which is 38 years. Over to chapter 2, verse 14. And the space which we came from Kadesh Barnea, they're leaving, going over to the north and east, going overwards. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Jerod was 38 years until the generation of the men were wasted away. That means they died, disappeared, consumed from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them. Now, if you go back up in verse 1, The Lord spake unto me, and ye compassed Mount Seir many days. Do you see the many days? That's 38 years. Because right now he's going to go from that event, he's going to bring them all the way over to the Red Sea, over to Jordan. He's now going to deal a, he's just said, I brought you to this far in history, now I'm going to take you to the next step. And thus, so in the process, verse 5, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward, and then they're going to go and spend 38 years going this way and that way because they believed not. They didn't believe God. And they're going to go over and over again, the same steps. God is going to shepherd them. They are shepherds. By that I mean they have cattle and sheep and all of that to take care of. And God's going to keep them around and around and around and around. But it's impossible. It's impossible. Did you see it? The people in front have the privilege to see that hornet or whatever it was. That is it out there now? I love hornets or whatever they are. I wouldn't hurt a hornet. But if he comes up here, you see, I don't mind the bear out in the woods. But when the bear comes in my house, man, we have a different arrangement. Understand? Now, in chapter 2, back in Exodus, over, if you would please, to in your Bible, to Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. And remember now that Israel they have to stay in the wilderness. It's impossible to go directly into the land of Canaan. They have to spend 38 years till all those that didn't believe, men over 20 years and older, all had to die. They all had to die. When they all died, and God didn't do it all at once, he gave them 38 years to think about it. And in 38 years, at the end of 38 years, of course, they all died. Now, here in chapter 33, they were given a promise to go into the land. And they were to drive out, remember, verse 52, to drive out, chase away, to expel is the word, to cause the inhabitants to be expelled, to chase them away, to drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess, that's the same word as drive out, you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. I've given you the land to possess. Now, that's a privilege. A privilege I've given it to you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you proceed, it's yours. And remember just one other place while you're here without reading all. Verse 55. If you will not, N-O-T, drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Now, you're given a privilege. Go. Dispossess them. Go. But they didn't. They didn't do it. Now, that was the thing. Now they're ready to do it. 40 years are up. We're going to cross the Jordan. And as we cross the Jordan, we're going to go. You're right nearby. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Joshua 1 and verse 1. And chapter 1, going directly to verse 3, for Joshua. Every place, and the Israelite, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. It's a gift already in their possession, already to be possessed. They could possess it. It was very, very possible. But do you know If they're going to mess around, procrastinate, delay, fool around, maybe next week, maybe next year, when I get time, it may never occur again. It may never occur again. It disappears in our heart, in our mind, and becomes impossible. So it's possible. Yes, it is. Now, what are you going to do? Drive them out. Drive them out. Over, you know the sequence. Judges, chapter 1. In Judges chapter 1, verse 19, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but they could not drive out. There's nothing that says you can't drive out anybody. Drive out all of them. Every picture, every molten image, remove it. They had complete authority to proceed. But, verse 19, Judges 1, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had what? Chariots of iron. What have they got to do with anything? You already beat the Philistine, Jebusites, Hivites, all of them. You went up, Jerkesites. You went up there and went giants and all, and you took it. And you should take it. But they weren't taking it. They were doing it in part. How about a half-hearted belief? How about a half-hearted church? How about a half-hearted this? How about that? God, what do you think about our half-heartedness? Not much. And without getting into that, you know it. Think of from Genesis, from Deuteronomy 4 all the way. You seek me with how much of your heart? With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. I do not take anything 3/4, 5/8. It's 100%. I'm going to give you 100% of who I am. And you, in turn, are going to give me 100% of who you are. That's the deal. No partial deal. The church is living in partial. And there's no power. Now, hang on. Just to illustrate, because I'm trying to get a handle on God. You make it possible, then it becomes impossible. Why? Because they didn't believe. Now, and thus in Judges, they didn't believe. Verse 20, and they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled hence the three sons of Anak. Caleb, you did all right, but what about the whole tribe? What about the whole people? Verse 21, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. They didn't drive them out. Verse 27, you know. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean. It didn't do that. Keep going. It's all over the place. Verse 28, it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. They were going to use them for servants, for farmers, for migrant workers. That's what they're going to do. God says, you don't do that. And they did. They'd be sorry, and they were. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Verse 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko. Verse 32, and the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out. They flunked. They had it. They'd have it today. We wouldn't even be here. It'd be a whole different world. But it didn't. It didn't happen. It became impossible. Impossible for them. Now, having said that, over to Judges chapter 17. They did not, they would not, and they could not. They didn't do it. They wouldn't do it. And you know, they couldn't do it. Do you know you can get a habit so locked in, you can't get rid of it? A way of thinking built into your system. You can't get it out of your system. It isn't that God couldn't help you. It's just locked in. You don't even have a consideration of anything else anymore. You've locked it in. Here they are, chapter 17, and what was the result? You know, verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And how's it end? Chapter 21, they did the same. Chapter 21, verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And that's what they're doing. Everyone is doing right in their own eyes. That's what they're going to do, and that's what they do with all their heart. So now you had all the judges down all the way to Samuel. Samuel is the last judge. He's the last judge and the last one. And Israel is done with judges. They didn't ask for another judge. They're done. Samuel's enough, running around being the judge of each village, town, tribe. Enough of Samuel. We don't want any more set judges. We don't want a Moses. Don't give us another Moses. Don't give us one of them. Don't give us one of them. What do we want? A king. A king. Because you want to be like them. And that's what they did. Now, God, do you know what? When they gave up judges, they had no more. They wanted kings. And they grabbed kings. And they took the kings. And did with the kings. Over, just so you see it directly, and one point I'd like you to note. 1 Samuel chapter 8. They rejected God's rule and God's right to rule and reign. They rejected that. And thus in the process, remember, I'm going to read you the little part here. 1 Samuel chapter 8 in verse 5. And they said, and said unto Samuel, him, behold, thou art old, thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We want to be like other people. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say. Listen to them. Let them have it. God gave them up to their own way. They wanted it. For they have not rejected thee, Samuel. They have rejected me, Almighty God. Why do they reject you, God? The end of verse 7. That I should not reign over them. They don't want my government and my rule. They don't want it. And you know what? Then we go down the corridor of time, and what are we going to find? We're going to find all, and by the way, we don't have time to look at it, but if we went back into Deuteronomy, what would you find? Before you, in Deuteronomy, picking up if I can in thought, God warned them when they were, Moses warned them, Deuteronomy, you're going to want a king. No. You're going to want a king. You're going to be sorry. You're going to be sorry you got a king. You've rejected me and put them in my place. No good. No good. No good. No good. No good at all. Wow. So God, here. And by the way, if you want to hold your finger here a moment, we're coming right back, not to this area, but into it. Over, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 28. See, one part about the king. King, I thought it's so helpful. God told them what would happen. No one pays attention when God tells you what's going to happen. God said, if you do this, this is going to happen. Nah, it won't happen. Yes, it will. Why do you think God said it? Wow. So Deuteronomy chapter 28, please, picking up, if I can. In chapter 28, verse 36. And the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, there's no king yet, that's right, which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone, and there, and verse 37, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee. You're going to be scattered, and you're going to be rejected, and anti-Semitism is going to be one big subject. And you're going to have it, and it's not going to go away. We wish it would go away. Ah, but in our day, it is increasing, because it has to. Anti-Semitism, Israel, has to go. Now, in the process of all of that, here are the, and then you ended up with the Assyrian captivity and the Babylonian captivity. And therefore what? Are we going to have a temple? No. We're going to have, not for a while. Why not? Because what did, it was one thing for the 10 tribes up here in the north to apostatize. For the 2 tribes in the south, 100 years later, approximately, for them to go, that's where Jerusalem is. Now, so what do you know? Well, when you go there, why did the 70 years, the 70 years are based on what? They're based on the fact that Israel failed to observe 70 sabbatical years. Every 6th year, God would double the food, double everything. In the 7th year, the land would remain completely barren. You couldn't even take a piece of fruit from the tree that grew in the 7th year and eat it, as it were. God gave you everything in the 6th year, and the land rested in the 7th year. For 70 years, the land has not rested. 490 years. Now, you go back, without doing all of that, obviously. Go back. No one you have to go back to. You have to go back to Eli. Samuel is born. Eli is the high priest. And there's the temple, a tabernacle. There it is. Wow. You have to go all the way back there. They never observed the 7th year for 490 years. And now you're going to spend a year. The land in Israel is going to rest 70 years to make up for what you didn't do. Now I'm going to give you a shot at it to come back. Nehemiah, Ezra, Nehemiah, back into the land, back to the land. Yay! It isn't anything like it could have been. No, not at all. Not at all. And in going back, looking to that, and the land had to have rest. So now, here we are looking 70 years. And Jeremiah, captivity. And what do? Can you get the land back? No, you can't get the land back. And you have to trust, you have to look to the, adjust to the situation. And Babylon in control, the temple torn down, etc. And then you rebuild the temple under Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and you do that. And now there's a possibility of revival after 70 years. Uh-huh. But you have to think, why did it stop? And why can it start? If it stops, why? And when can it start? I want to know that. That's going to help me. If it can never start again, never. But can it ever start again? So the possible becomes impossible. So now they put the land, they put the temple. And in the second temple, they built that temple, you know. And over, if you would, in Malachi. In the book of Malachi, last book in your Old Testament. And in the book of Malachi, you will note the second temple. And in chapter 2, verse 17, you have the thinking, the mentality of the people back in the land under Ezra and Nehemiah. Verse 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, And he delighteth in them. God delights in wrongness and stupidity and evil and wrong. And they say, God never judges anything. Where is the God of judgment? He don't do anything. What's he care? God's off somewhere on vacation, somewhere out there in space. God, we don't know. So that's the end. Now, what are we going to get? Here's the temple. Here's the temple. It had a great possibility of getting your act right. Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Haggai, there they are, encouraging you to run. But boy, you didn't do it. No, you didn't do it. It was possible. It may not have been Solomon's temple, but so what? So what? So Malachi chapter 3, what do we do? What would you do? Malachi 3 and verse 16. In Malachi chapter 3, then they, the remnant that feared the Lord, spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. What were they doing? Well, they said, listen, the dumb system isn't honoring God, but my heart can honor God, and the heart of the remnant of the believers that were going to be believing, they could be believed, and they could honor God and look to God. They could do so. They could do so in a most wonderful way. Now, but, what's it going to happen? 400 years before John the Baptist, what are we going to have for 400 years? Nothing. Nothing. John the Maccabees, true, but nothing. And 400 years ago, John the Baptist, then the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now here's your opportunity, and again, impossible, the possible becomes possible, in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the King. He's the King of Kings. Will you receive the King? That was John the Baptist, and the Lord picked up the same message. Will you receive the King? Possible. Uh-huh. Absolutely. That's why you have the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7. You want me to be king? This is what it's going to be like. Now, but what are we going to do with the king? We're going to go and reject the king. We're going to reject the king. The king is going to be left out. Totally left out. No king. No king. No what? No temple. 70 AD came, and the temple, Herod's temple, 46 years in the building, that temple's down. No more temple, no more priest, no more sacrifice, no more 12 tribes. Nothing. Can we recover? No. No. Israel's opportunity is gone. It will not occur again till the end of the tribulation. And the tribulation will be possible. And it will make something wonderful happen. Israel, after the 7 years, is going to go when the Lord steps out of heaven and every eye sees him. Israel, the Jew, is going to mourn as if for an only son. And they're going to go into their house and realize we have crucified the Christ, the Messiah. And Israel will become a nation in one day. Possible. But boy, it becomes impossible. Uh-huh, it does. Now, over if you would please, in closing, at least a little. Oh, we didn't get very far. I had to give you some background. I like background. I like understand, don't you? I like understanding where everything's coming from. I want to know where it comes from. Why does it exist? You see? You need the background. Because God makes possible. And then it becomes impossible. Now, God, here are the Jews that are going to crucify him. Mark, chapter 10. Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. In Mark, chapter 10. May I pick up, please, very quickly in verse 22. This is the fellow that, you know, that wanted to have riches, honor, everything. Verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thou thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me, because he was all caught up in his riches. Verse 22. And he was sad at that saying, and they went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto him, disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, sewing needle, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 26, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Who can ever be saved? Wow. Who can ever be saved? Do you see the little word enter? The little verb. It's easier to enter. It's used verse 23, etc. 24, enter. And you know, John, I'm going to give you where it is, same word. John 3, verse 5. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's your word. Unless you get born again. It's impossible. You can't do it. I'm going to get through the wall. No, you aren't. No, you're not. Wow. Now, and thus, who can be saved? Who can ever be saved? No one can be saved. Ah. Verse 27, you know. Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men, it is impossible. The word possible, able, and then power, and take away, put a negative, not possible, not able, unable. It is not possible, but not with God. God doesn't have the impossibility. You do. For with God, all things are possible. Now, in your life, wherever you are, in your journey, to whatever degree you're going to get with it here, what would you... would you like to have God? And we're going to pick up tonight. We'll get tonight. I do tonight now, and then I'll be done, etc. But I can't. You need to get. What happens if you don't? Well, you must have something in your life that you would like to see work out. To have. To please God. To have something good. But. For you and your dreams and your wishes and your aspirations, they're only that. They're not possible. Why? Because I'll give it to you in the final analysis. Here you are in your physical bodies, and maybe sooner than later, God come for us. But in the process, you're going to die. And here's all your dreams and aspirations, looking to get them, trying to get them. Hang on to them. I got it. Really? How long? Because the minute you drop, that goes down. And you are reminded, you brought nothing in. And what? You'll take nothing out. Absolutely. So all the dreams and wishes... God, I want something that can hang through all of this and come out all right. And with me, it's impossible. With you, it is possible. Who then can be saved? Our Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. He is our redemption. He is our Savior. And we're able to come to God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that which is totally impossible becomes possible. But if I keep going negative, it's impossible. And if I follow through, John 3:18-36, the wrath of God abideth on me. And I end up with nothing. Because I had it, we did that which is right in our own eyes. What'd you get for it? The government isn't going to help you. I don't need to explain that to you, do I? Washington isn't going to come to your rescue. Middlesex Hospital, God bless them, isn't going to come to your rescue. Your family isn't going to come to your rescue. My friends, all friends are fragile. Fragile. As long as they are in an old nature, we just never say never. Because your old nature is capable of what? Anything. Under the right conditions. You never say never. Nah. No, you got to know it's capable. Capable. Wow. And then you're going to trust God all the more. And that which is impossible becomes possible. I can get saved. Now that I get saved, though, can I proceed down the corridor of time to have what is what you meant Israel to have? Israel doesn't have it. And they haven't had it for all of these centuries. And they aren't going to have it until the Lord comes on his return. They aren't going to have it. The church, Laodicean. We are rich and what? Increased with goods. We don't need anything, God. Don't need anything. No, no. And God said, listen, I'm outside and I'm not asking for the congregation. I want to know if anyone in there wants to get saved. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I want to know if anyone's interested. That's where we are now. Wow. I wish I could have done this better for you. I feel bad. Anyway. God help you. God help us. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful truth it is. I want to understand that, boy. I want possible what's impossible. I don't want to goof up the lessons of history. I want to learn them well. I don't want to repeat history and lose out. I want to learn from it. That's why we did it. I want to learn what you guys did, that you why you lost out. I don't want to lose out. I don't care about friends, fellowship, family, strong, big, you know, be part of the crowd. I don't know any crowd you want to be part of today, apart from God's people that are trying. I don't know any crowd to be part of. Wrong crowd. Wrong way. Bad way. Bad. Bad. Bad and sad. Never going to come out right. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And our God, here we are and here I am. Thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for making and caring and having a wonderful, wonderful exercise that we might learn and be educated in having the benefits. God, we don't want to make it so that it becomes impossible. God, for those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, God, convince their heart that rejection would turn to reception and they would thoroughly, thoroughly get saved. God, deal with us, one and all. Thank you for love. Thank you for your presence. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we can sing stanza 559.